Welcome to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery. Learn something new from our stories today. Welcome, everyone, to We Mentor Mondays podcast with Nancy. Today, our guest is Jason Campbell and Kristen Campbell. They are a married couple, and they both have separate businesses together. So welcome to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
All right. So we'll go back and forth with the same question, and then we'll ask some questions as a partnership together, what it's like being in relationship with each other. So let's give our listeners a little bit of background. Kristen, can you tell us a little bit about how you grew up?
Sure. I was born and raised in Minnesota, in Deep Haven, actually. I graduated from Minnetonka High School. I grew up in a very typical family, I guess. Mom and dad, an older sister. Had a very happy childhood. I was involved in sports and, did fairly well in school and worked several jobs during high school. Had good friends and I just had a really happy childhood. I think very fondly of it when I think back to it.
Oh, great. How about you, Jason?
Yeah, I also grew up in Minnetonka, Minnesota. I was born in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I went to Minnetonka High School and went on to college at the University of Wisconsin at Stout. And I too had a childhood that was full of joy and happiness. My mom and dad were great. You know, my dad's passed away, but my mom and dad are great people. I was into sports pretty heavily. Baseball, hockey, football, and then when I got older, it was pretty much hockey. I played that throughout college also. So pretty similar to Kristen. I have two brothers and one sister, one older brother and one younger brother, and then my sister's the youngest. So great memories also of growing up, and that's about it.
Okay, great. And let's check in with how you're feeling right now. So just for our listeners' sake, in our other interviews, if they've been listening, I had the previous guests fill out a self-awareness mentoring journal. And I explained in detail that there's four different categories. And the purpose for doing this is to really go a little bit more inward to try to connect with our authentic self so that we can discuss how you're feeling and how that is showing up in your life today.
We mentor.
Just to give you an idea about who Kristen is, she started her limited liability company called Organized Homes and Staging by Kristen in 2010. And her goal in everything is to help people by providing a variety of services in the areas of home staging, redesign, and organizing. So she does everything she can to help homeowners get the most from selling their homes. Please, Kristen, go ahead with what you would like to share about your self-awareness mentoring journal.
Sure. So I guess with the first category of emotions of inner peace, the ones that I circled are validated, aware, empathic, curious, respectful, grounded, and happy. For emotions of internal challenge and growth, I circled pressure, mentally unclear, embracing resistance, challenged, determined, distracted. Emotions signaling inner hurt, I put physical pain, just because of a little incident last night. And
she was bit by a dog.
And okay. Yeah, and emotion signaling you to stop. I put low energy, which I think is also from last night. It just ended up being a long night and did not get as much sleep as I typically might get.
So. You never know when you're out doing your work what's going to show up in the environment that you're in. And right. Yes, so she's recovering from a slight dog bite. Anything else you would like to share regarding any of your challenges and growth areas today? Like, is there something you'd like to talk further about today in our mentoring session?
I think with the internal challenge and growth area, particularly where I put challenged, determined, and distracted, I think those are coming from a place where I'm feeling like I'm right at the cusp of growing to a next level in my business. And it's challenging doing the work, but I feel like I'm finally figuring out the things that I need to do consistently. And it's taken me a while to get to this place. So it's challenging, but I'm determined. I think the distracted part is coming just from the time of year, to be honest, with it being the holidays. And, you know, I have a new little great niece that I'm very excited about and try and see her as much as I can. And my mom's coming into town over the holidays. So, you know, there's just extra fun stuff going on that distracts me a little bit this time of year.
Sure. Great. Thank you. Kristen is used to filling out the self-awareness mentoring journal because she was part of through We Mentor, my business outside of this podcast, working in an entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab, a small group that was together for 15 months working on their business plan, and it really is their life plan, so the direction that they're going. And Kristen wrote the most detailed, involved business plan that I have ever read. And how has that served you?
It gave me a lot of clarity around myself and my business. I had been in business for a year and a half or 2 years maybe at the time that I signed up for that lab.
I think it was 2 years, yeah.
And I had written a very basic business plan, but working with you and the work that we did, it was really digging into a lot of layers of not only research around my business and the industry and really, you know, forecasting sales and, you know, doing things that I hadn't been doing. But also, I was questioning a lot about the business and should I be doing this and do I want to do this? And it reinforced that, yeah, I did want to do it. And and it was a nice, intimate group. And I guess it helped solidify my investment into the business.
Yeah, you had, from where you started to where you ended up, I mean, you were questioning so many things. And so to reach a point where you're fully committed to your home staging and organizational business, and then to see that a couple years from when we were last, when you were in the lab, that you're really continuing to grow, you've got a really solid foundation, you're feeling really more confident in how you're working. The gremlins still show up, it sounds like, but you are able to kind of address them in a really constructive way.
Right, and I think that just comes over time. You get more confident, and I think being a business owner, especially a solo business owner, I mean, you have to be so flexible and know that you just have to be adaptable, because change is inevitable. It's always going to be happening. So you just kind of have to go with the flow.
Absolutely. Well, and we're a continual work in progress, and your clients change, and as you learn more things, you're shifting the rules and or how you're working, or, you know, how many times have you examined your pricing?
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, within the last 2 months, I just repriced everything out, all of my services, and developed new packages around my staging and design and organizing services. So I had just changed them the beginning of 2015. So, you know, I changed them again, not even a year, you know, later. So yeah, that's always evolving.
Yeah, absolutely. We mentor. All right. And Jason, how are you feeling today?
Well, on the emotions of inner peace, I circled validated, aware, respectful, observant, and optimistic. And under the category of emotions of internal challenge and growth, I put uncomfortable, pressure, challenged, and determined. Under the category of emotions signaling inner hurt, I put angry, respectful, disappointed, controlling, and misunderstood.
Wow, let's stop for a second. That's a lot. And you said it in such a nice voice. I'm angry.
Yeah, I'm angry. Yeah.
Okay. Can we talk about it a little bit?
Sure.
Yeah. What are you angry about?
Well, I go through periods of anger during the day. It comes and goes. But I have to come to realize that that's why I circled controlling also. Mm. I feel that I'm trying to control a lot of situations that I don't have control over, and I have to give that up. And there's where the anger sets in.
Okay.
Of not being able to control certain situations that affect me or others.
Okay. And so then once your anger is triggered and you realized I can't control the situation, then what did you do?
Well, usually I try to find a way to alleviate that anger, which my anger usually goes away. I'm really not an angry person, but I have angry feelings.
Everybody does.
I don't lash out. I don't yell at people. I don't do any of that. I just get angry, probably more with myself on not being able to find a way to get my point across, and I don't know how to explain it. How to be respected.
Okay.
More.
And you, like, for example, so can you give an example today, or the angry feelings that you have right now?
Well, stems with being in a family business.
Okay.
That is my biggest struggle, and it has been in the past, and it currently is a struggle of mine.
Can we share a little bit of, talk about your business and how you ended up being owner of the business and how the family owned it.
Okay. Yeah, the business.
That'll help the listener with getting a context.
Sure.
For your history and help understand, because there's a lot of family-owned businesses out there, and this is a common issue that people have with, you know, having unclear expectations or a lot of things that are not said. Or in your situation, you know, it was a shock, right? That all of a sudden your dad wasn't here and that you had to take over the business, and there were a lot of loose ends. And I'm imagining, you know, I'm just talking with you, you know, for the second time. So I don't know you that well, but go ahead and share a little more about whatever you're comfortable with.
Sure. The company is called Unidor Corporation, and we actually manufacture interior doors and millwork products related to the door industry. And we sell to a wide range of companies, from the big box companies down to lumber yards and prehangers. And the company,
are these individuals that go into like Home Depot and buy your windows?
Correct. We would sell the product to Home Depot or Menards or Lowe's, and they would actually prehang it into a door unit most of the time, and then the public could go in and purchase it.
Okay.
And they also have contractor portions of the business where contractors can buy from big box companies also.
Okay.
And home builders.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
So we have a wide, you know, clientele just in that realm, and then also we sell to the local lumber yards and big prehangers of doors that then in turn sell it to the home builders. So we're a wholesale manufacturer. And the company was actually started in 1958 down in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and it evolved into 12 different companies throughout the state of Minnesota and Wisconsin.
Wow.
And at one time, each company had produced a part or a veneer or a piece of plywood or cut stock for a door. So all the companies were wood-based, and we actually manufactured all those products to manufacture the interior door and the related millwork.
Were these separate companies then?
Separate plants, owned by the same person.
Okay, separate plants.
Correct.
Okay.
And my...
So all the people running the plants were employees of yours?
Well, the person that started all of these companies, his name was Bud Bloom.
Okay.
And my dad started working for him when he was 18 years old. Hmm. And a lot of it was family meshed between marriage.
Okay.
And... throughout the years, some of the people that had worked there for many years had the opportunity to purchase certain plants or certain locations, and that's what my dad and one of his partners did.
Oh, I see.
Back in 1973, they bought the building and started producing material down in Gaylord, Minnesota. And in 1988... my dad and another partner of his purchased Unidor Corporation from Bud Bloom.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And that's how
so you kind of like branched off then.
Correct.
Yeah.
And in between that time period in time, all of the plants in Wisconsin and the plants that were left in Minnesota, except for one, had been sold off. And my uncle and another side of the family on the other side purchased and are still running Buffalo Veneer and Plywood up in Buffalo, Minnesota.
Wow. That's awesome. Okay. And so keep going.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's how it evolved. My dad passed away in 2009 of cancer, and I had been working with both of my brothers have worked at Unidor, and one still does. So I would come back from college on the weekends and put together doors with my older brother, Mike. And so that was back in 1988, we started doing that. And then my dad's partner passed away in 92. So we went down to Unidor full time, my older brother and myself, and started running the plant with my father.
Wow, so that must have been quite a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was, his partner was young. He was 48 at the time that he passed away. And so it put my dad in a situation.
Yeah.
And luckily that my older brother and myself had been working there long enough to you know some of the business at that point in time where we could step in and help them.
Yeah. It's hard to move a company forward when you're all grieving.
Yeah.
But it seems like people kind of pull together during those times too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was obviously tough. He, at that time, my dad's partner, also had two brothers that were in the business as salespeople, and they had left the company. So it opened up a big void, I'll call it,
okay,
of things that needed to be done and had to be done in the company.
Yes, because how many people were working there? How many employees were there at the time?
At that time, there was probably 70 employees.
Okay. And a lot of people, yeah.
And over the years, we have automated a lot of the machinery and brought the number of people down that actually work in the plant. Right now, there's about 40 people at Unidor Corporation.
Okay. And then in 2009, when was your dad diagnosed with cancer?
About a year and a half prior to his death.
Okay. What type of cancer?
He had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Oh, the same as my brother.
Oh, okay.
He passed away, yeah. Under 40, yeah.
Yeah, it's really... I think, you know, any time that happens, it's always looked at as too young. You know, he was 62, so. But you never think that it's going to actually happen.
Yeah.
You know, he had cancer, and you always have the optimism that he's going to beat it, and he's going to be around tomorrow and the next day and the next
Absolutely.
Month and the next
yes.
year.
Yeah.
So I had looking back, I had the greatest opportunity ever to be working with him all those years.
Yeah.
You know, and I learned so much about business and about life in general from him. So
You'll always have that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then you can share it with the rest of the people you're working with as well, because you'll continue the mentoring and, right?
Yeah.
Passing on his legacy.
Yep. He, I have a lot of traits, and I try to pride myself on running Unidor Corporation with a lot of Tom Campbell, my dad, in his wishes and thoughts and outlook on what Unidor should be and how it should be run. And, I take pride in that.
Absolutely. Can you tell us a little bit about the transition of, so you find yourself all of a sudden an owner of a business which you thought maybe you were evolving into, but all of a sudden now you own it. What was your role through that process, and how was your brothers and other family members, how did they all respond, or did they all take on different responsibilities too?
Yeah, it was actually kind of interesting because I had always worked with my older brother, Mike, and my younger brother was not at Unidor. He was out of state, and my older brother Mike left the business a few years before my dad passed away, and in that time frame, my younger brother came back to Minnesota and started working at Unidor.
Okay,
so that kind of
kind of switched places.
One brother left and one brother came in.
Okay,
and I had been there the whole time.
Okay,
one aspect I always look back at is, I was, I'll call it groomed by my dad on, I didn't appreciate it at the time, but looking back, I really appreciate what he did to challenge you and to get you prepared to run the business. I didn't know it at the time that was what he was doing, but now I can see it.
I see.
I came in at the lowest level of the company, and I got paid just like everybody else out on the floor. And I've ran every machine, and I've produced every part that's produced in that plant. And that Then I went up into the office, and I've done everything in the office from bookkeeping to customer service to everything needed to be done in the office also. So I had a good grasp on how the business ran and the mentoring from my dad on how to run that.
Yeah, and a confidence in understanding every role and responsibility within the company. So when it comes to raises or how to promote people or when something isn't getting done in the process of the system of, you know, from one thing to, and from one machine to the next or whatever, that but through the process, really, of gathering all that information, that helps you to really build your confidence in understanding every aspect of how the business is run, which also positions you then so that you can begin to embrace a new vision going forward. So how have you shaped the vision of the company since 2009?
Well,
because it's not been easy. You know, 2008 was really a rough year as our country was, you know, in a financial despair from all the banking fraud, and many people lost their homes. And so all the disruption within the United States, everybody was in a major turmoil, and every business owner I know was really dramatically affected. And it took a long time to really recover from that. But how did it affect your business?
Well, yeah, it was trying to keep your head above water, really.
Because were you losing customers at the time, or was your how was the business changing for you?
You know, it did evolve a lot. There were a lot of customers and vendors that had went out of business during this. You know, being in the building industry, I'll call it, that pretty much halted during this time period of 3 to 4 years, if not more. Hmm. So it was all the way from vendors being gone to customers being gone. Your flow of materials coming in and out had to change. You couldn't keep the inventories you used to. You were more just-in-time shipping, getting the product in and getting it out as quickly as possible.
Right.
Really watching your cash flow and your bottom line. Everything had to be tightened up in the company because, you know, the long-term debt or you know, what have you, doesn't go away. You have to find a way to pay that.
Yeah.
So it was a learning lesson for me that probably is going to turn out to be a good thing because I had to go through it. And if I hadn't gone through it, I don't think I'd be the business owner that I am today.
Awesome.
You know, there were many times that I wish my dad was right next to me helping me out.
I bet.
But, you know, that wasn't an option. So you have to do what you have to do. And I always have my family and every employee at Unidor in my thoughts. And I take it personally. Yeah. I don't look at, there's 40 people at Unidor. There's really over 100 with husbands and wives and spouses and children. And
yeah,
I look at it that way. And that was instilled by my father also. So I would say 99.9% of the way Unidor is run or the business is changed or evolved in some point. I'm looking at trying some different things on marketing and sales that has never really become a point that we would have looked at in the past. So I think I'm just trying to keep an open mind and look at new ways of doing things, maybe a different way, where I didn't do that earlier in my career.
Sure. I think this is a good time to bring you into it. So with that transition, where were you at in your business when his dad passed away in 2009?
I had not started my business yet. I had just gotten laid off from the corporate world. I was in the travel industry for 17 years. I was a meeting and event planner and was laid off in May of 2009. And his father passed away in July of 2009. So it was probably the worst week of our lives. There was a lot of stuff going on, and it took me a long time to kind of recover from that emotionally.
Yeah.
To get to a point where I could even think about what am I going to do. So late in the year, in November, December of that year, I had decided that I wanted to get certified as a home stager after seeing a commercial on TV. And I just thought it, you know, I love decorating. I love organizing. I just thought it would be a very good pairing to offer those services together and in something that I've always been interested in and good at. So right around that time, I also was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And so right when I was getting ready to start my certification program, I was having back-to-back surgeries, and I had complications because my vocal cord was paralyzed. So there was just a lot going on, and it took me longer than I had planned on to get my certification done. And I was hard on myself, but I tried to relax and just, you know, when you're faced with a health issue, you have to deal with it.
Yeah.
You don't right really have you. A choice. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to go away. So I just, you know, I worked through it the best that I could, but it was a horrible, a horrible, horrible year. I have to admit.
Yeah, it sounds awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, and very painful mm-hmm. for both of you and shocking. You just lost your dad and then to find out that Kristen mm-hmm. has thyroid cancer and then you get laid off and you're thinking, okay, now what am I going to do for the rest mm-hmm. of my life?
Right.
But the way you pulled yourself together and worked through the thyroid. So tell us where you're at now with it.
So I'm cancer free right now. Yay. And I get monitored every year. They just drop me to a year from like 6 to 9 month checkups. So if I can remain cancer free for another 3 years, I probably will not need to be monitored anymore. So that's good.
That is great. Yeah. And the way that you also, you know, when you start a business, you have to be the face for it. Mm-hmm. And you have to go out and sell it and really understand what you're doing and go out and do the work. But you, even though you were having difficulty with your speech and feeling very self-confident, you know, you were
self-conscious.
Yeah, there we go. Self-conscious sure. About your speaking ability and a little bit of your raspy voice. But you just totally took charge of the situation and you kept moving forward. And I really continue to admire that about you, that you find every situation and you try to learn from it and then take the learning and try to apply it in a really constructive way. So you recommitted to so let's go back a little bit to where you left off in the story before we started talking about this is, so that was your worst year of your life.
Yeah.
And for both of you in marriage together, a really tough year.
Yeah.
And then is this okay to talk about? Are you feeling okay?
Sure. Yeah.
Is it bringing up more pain?
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Because I just want to validate the journey and to really, you've been through a lot. And to keep going and to make the transitions that you both needed to in your businesses as you're going along to support each other is pretty amazing. Okay, so you got some ideas, you got some training, and you began formulating your own business.
Correct. So I got my certification and had no idea what I was doing. And had never run a business before, and it was nice to have Jason to ask questions of, although I did honestly feel sometimes that he didn't understand where I was, because it was just a very different situation from his business and how he got into business. It was an established business, and I was trying to build a much smaller business from nothing.
Yeah.
And it was scary, and, I don't know. I just started doing a little bit of networking and trying to meet as many people as I could and contact realtors to see if they would meet with me or, have coffee with me. And the housing market was terrible at that time. Probably the worst time to start up a home staging business. But I was fortunate that we were in a position where I could take the risk to start, to see what could happen, to see if I could make a go of it. It was a minimal investment for me, the way that I modeled my business, because I don't have the expenses of carrying a huge warehouse of furniture as inventory, which was purposely made by me to keep costs low. Whether or not it's been the right decision, I still question it a lot, because I do think I have lost business because I don't carry that inventory, but I'm just finding a way to try and find my own specialty within the industry, and that is more of working with occupied homes and trying to utilize what people already have and make small purchases where they're not, spending a ton of money on renting furniture and that sort of thing. So, yeah.
You also started a blog?
I do blog. I've gone in spurts, but I've gotten back to being more regular about it, because I also started a newsletter this year, finally. So I'm more committed to blogging. But I started out blogging with a few other people who were in industries related to homes or home improvement. There was a painter and a contractor and myself, and honestly, I don't remember all the people involved, but it was kind of, I was asked to be a part of it by somebody that I had met at a networking event. And that's where I started the blogging, and it ended up being me doing a lot of the writing. Not everyone was fully committed, so it didn't go very far.
And that's what happens, though, with innovation. When you're taking a new idea and you're implementing it, you can have people get on board with you. But when it comes down to the actual work and making and implementing it over a period of time, that's where you notice not everybody's in.
Right.
And if you're doing all the work, then you're shifting the direction that it's going,
right?
To make it work for you and for the direction that the vision that you have behind it.
Yeah. So the person who had kind of initiated this, it just sort of went away. I mean, it just phased out, I guess, over time. And eventually I just put my blog on my website where I probably should have started it anyways. But
that's the trial and error.
It's the trial and error, and which I've had much of.
Yes, you have. And that's what every business owner kind of goes through as well. If you have an infusion of cash that you put into the business, you know, you still make the same kinds of mistakes. Mm-hmm. It's just you lose money quicker, but you also can recover quicker too. And the main thing is you kept a cash flow going and you managed each risk that you were taking in a way that you financially could support it, mm-hmm. and you could recover from it. 'Cause it takes a while to figure out where the customers are.
Right.
And once you get the customers, what exactly do they need? And I think the blogging and now your newsletter gives the audience a wonderful way of getting to know you, along with all the pictures that you have with what you're working on. And you really, how you talk about it, it's very user-friendly. Mm-hmm. And have you felt like you've been getting more business from that?
I think I've been getting more calls, and I've heard from some realtors that I hadn't heard from in a while, which is great. So I think it's just you have to consistently put yourself in front of people and in their mind. Otherwise, I mean, I don't think it's anything personal, but just we are in a busy world right now and people forget, you know, if you're not just constantly
marketing,
reminding them that you're there. Yeah. Marketing.
And there's so many distractions.
Right.
So I think that having a method to what you're delivering to the audience and a way to connect with them in a meaningful way that gives them information, but also lets them know that you are still here.
Right.
And you can do it very easily, electronically, and expand your touch and connection with people.
Right.
And excellent.
The newsletter and the blogging is one of my favorite things to do in my business. I really enjoy writing, and I'd make it short and sweet on purpose because I know people don't have time. But for me, that's fun, and I like to keep it light and very personal and try and let my personality show through. And I look forward to working on it every month.
Yeah. So during this time of transition that you had when you were starting up, what was Jason's response when you first brought up the idea of you want to own your own business?
I think he was supportive. I mean,
what do you honestly think, Jason?
I think I was very supportive.
Honestly, the economy was so bad. Honestly, the alternative would have been that I think I just would have been out of work for a long time.
Yeah.
Before the economy bounced back, it was either kind of sit there and wait for it to bounce back or try and do something different.
Totally different.
And I'm not really one to sit and do nothing.
It's another example of you taking charge of a situation where it could have potentially brought you, you know, put you in a stupor for a long period of time. But what you did was you deliberately thought about your talents and your skills and what you enjoy doing. And you found resources that would help you to figure out what to do next, like getting your license and then getting some clients.
Right.
So what would either one of you like to share about Kristen's starting up and how it affected your relationship with each other?
Well, I'm just still am very, very proud of her for doing that. I mean, I saw it from ground zero, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being built to where it is now, it's a huge accomplishment, and I'm very proud of her. She's not necessarily an accountant. She's not necessarily an outside salesperson. She's,
right.
And a lot of people, I'm not necessarily a lot of those things. But she took those challenges on as part of her business and grew it to where it is from you know, nothing. And that takes skill, but it also takes inner drive. And I saw that inner drive in her. And I remember back when she first started talking about it, of having a thought of, yeah, do something that you really, really want to do. And that's what she did, and I respect her for it. You know, and looking back, the timing, and she had mentioned, you know, that we were in a position where she could actually do that. And I think, thinking back, is, you know, I hope that people in general do that, even if the chips are down a little bit more, you know,
yeah.
and take that on and go with it, because it can and will turn into something that's pretty special. And that's what I've seen with her business.
Yeah. And we're in such a disruptive world that there's not a lot that we can count on. And so it's really important for all of us to really take charge of our life work and figure out, you know, what are the gifts that I have here? What are the talents? What are the skills? And how can I shape it and direct it in a way that will provide a livelihood and make a difference in the world? And you both are doing it in such, you know, different ways. And you came at it in such a different way. But the way you're balancing it out and you're taking charge of your finances and you're growing in a way that you can cash flow it yourselves is really impressive and awesome.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Much appreciated.
Yeah.
This seems like a good place to end our show for today. Thanks, Jason. Thanks, Kristen, for being part of this mentoring session. And thank you, audience, for tuning in. Stay tuned for the next session when we talk about their partnership and how things are being married to each other when you're both running separate businesses. Thank you.